This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kelms. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, happy Valentine's Day.
Well, and to you as well.
Let's get right into what has been not just a busy week when it comes to politics and business in Arkansas, but a busy 48 hours. Let's start with what is a rotating roster of Arkansas statewide political candidates.
Well, and it is a rotating roster, and it reminds me of a cartoon I have, and it shows a journalist. He's throwing a dart at a board, and on the board are just these different story topics, and that the caption of the cartoon is, "Today I'm an expert in," and it's whatever, you know, topic his dart hits. Well, he could do the same thing, just put a candidate's name up on a board and throw a dart at it and say, "Today he's going to be lieutenant governor, and tomorrow he's going to announce for this." I mean, it's just, it's all over the map. But we've got Tim Griffin, he's still congressman, but he's not going to run for Congress for the 2nd District of Arkansas there in Central Arkansas, has announced he's going to instead run for lieutenant governor. Now, he got out of Congress to, he said, spend more time with his family, and these guys can make more money in the private sector than serving in Congress. But he shook that up, and that impacts Northwest Arkansas and the whole dynamic, the Republican-Democrat dynamic in the legislature, because Charlie Collins, a Republican from Fayetteville, how many times can you say a Republican from Fayetteville, but anyway, he is going to run again for that House seat instead of run for lieutenant governor. So, and he's considered strong in that House seat. So it's just, you know, and again, probably next Friday we'll be talking about some other weird shift in the race.
Well, and then Deborah Hobbs, who was seeking the GOP nomination for governor, now is joining the lieutenant governor's race for the GOP nomination.
And you got to wonder if she's wondering, was that a smart, you know, because that was similar timing, and I don't know if she knew, she had to know Griffin was getting in that lieutenant governor's race, but Griffin's going to be strong. It's likely going to come down between Griffin and the Republican side and Mr. Burkhalter, the Democrat. That's going to be, it's going to be an interesting race. I mean, two relatively well-known people.
Well-financed as well.
Yes. Oh, yes, very much so.
Receipts for Northwest Arkansas hotels and restaurants from last year up.
Yes, and it's not a surprise. I mean, and it's a solid 6% across the board in just the fourth quarter receipts, which we'd like to look at the fourth quarter receipts because that's, you know, last I checked, they're still playing football in Northwest Arkansas, so that's when the Razorbacks play. But between Fayetteville, Rogers, Springdale, and Bentonville, a little over $1.3 million collected in hotel and food taxes. Overall, the numbers were strong. In Bentonville for the year, up over 11%. In Springdale, 8.5%. Fayetteville was up 4.4%. And Rogers is up over 2.2%, but just good numbers across the board. And between, you know, Razorbacks and the travel, the business travel from Walmart and Tyson and J.B. Hunt, it's not a surprise. And then you throw in that little operation up there called Crystal Bridges, and it's even more not of a surprise.
Finally, Board of Directors in Fort Smith heard from a lawyer who says, you know what, the city might be able to levy some fines against Whirlpool.
Yeah, this is just, this just comes out of a weird left field. You know, we have an attorney from, like I said, Illinois, who says maybe we can fine Whirlpool for littering, you know, and go back and penalize them that way. You know, and I, don't get me wrong, I don't want to be seen as defending Whirlpool, but this just doesn't, it hasn't yet passed our smell test. I mean, first of all, you know, she's wanting the city's permission. You know, this, anybody can sue anybody. I don't know why she needs Fort Smith's permission. There are issues with statute of limitations. There are issues with who can legally litigate on behalf of the city. So we'll see where this goes. The board seemed skeptical during the phone call, the conference call they had with her, but we'll see what they ultimately decide. I know there are some board members who say, "Look, we're not. It's not going to cost us anything. Why not let let this lawyer go after him. But there, there are some messages it can send in terms of, you know, how the city is perceived by the business community. Some are concerned that this could, you know, just upset Whirlpool, and Whirlpool says, okay, screw it. We're not even going to market the building. We're just going to let the building, you know, fall in on itself. So this is, you know, this whole Whirlpool story has just been one weird swing after the next, so we shouldn't be surprised that this is the latest chapter.
And unfortunately, it's one that doesn't seem that it will go away anytime soon at all.
Right. Well, and, you know, and we're going to be reporting on Whirlpool and what they're doing to mitigate this pollution for many years. So that's definitely not going away.
Well, that's how we'll end our Valentine's Day edition.
Dirty water.
That's right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire that covers politics, business, culture, and much more for the entire region. Michael, thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome.